Always make sure to check us out on Facebook. And where else, Don?
And the Valley Outdoors. The Valley Outdoors.
The Valley Outdoors. I was just perusing that. I pulled up Michigan, and I was looking at some different the seasons, and you know they've got you click on the state, and then you can go fishing, hunting, trails, and then I pulled up the trails for sleds, and it's amazing. It's an interactive map. You zoom in, and it shows all the trails in all of Michigan. I suspect same thing with the DNR sites for Wisconsin and Minnesota, but it was awesome. Zoom down in and you can see all the different color types. You click on the actual trail and then it'll give you what the trail is, who maintains the trail, and further details if you want them. It's pretty cool.
It's a cool app that's on our site, and you know, you can go to any state and get all that information. Yep. And it's so easy. It's a one-stop shop for.
I was just impressed with the sleds because it so often can be difficult to figure out where do we want to go.
Yep.
And they've got dumped on.
In Michigan?
Oh, over 3 feet of snow. I got some friends going up there. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
I think the whole Midwest has had their fair share of snow this year already, so it's been a good year.
We're getting there.
For the sledders.
Yeah. Not a lot of over 3-inch snowfalls as I checked it out, but a significant number of the 2.5-inch snowfalls, so kind of cool. We have a couple different sturgeon updates, Don.
Yeah, I was looking at those. There's some heavy-duty.
Kind of cool.
Yep.
Wisconsin sturgeon season.
This is on Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin.
Yep. And day 13 of the 2022 sturgeon spearing season, so a small number of sturgeon speared. 35 sturgeon were harvested on day 13. 35 consisted of 3 juveniles, 17 adult females, and 15 males. That's the highest harvest since this last Sunday and attributed to more spears on the ice as the weekend approaches. Total fish harvested on Lake Winnebago increased to 969 in the Winnebago system. Total increased to 1318. And the reason they say the system, I don't know if you're familiar with Winnebago, Don.
I am, yeah. My grandfather.
So you've got, right. So you've got Poygan, Butamore. You know, there's a three-lake chain that goes on there.
Up by Oshkosh.
Yep. And so they've got quite a few different connectivities through the river there.
Where are most of the sturgeon caught, though? Do you know?
There's speared in Winnebago. Primarily is
in the
biggest,
big lake.
In the big lake.
Yep.
And largest fish speared was 120.6 pounds, 77 inches long. It was a female. And one of the things, I've fished there a lot, and what you find is the fishery is very diverse. The unfortunate part is that the walleye population just gets hammered with the amount of tournaments that go on in that lake. And, I mean, it's literally every weekend.
Right.
So, granted, it is for the most part catch and release, but it's heavily used. Let's put it that way. When close proximity of Oshkosh, everybody goes out and goes Fond du Lac and Oshkosh.
Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Appleton. I think is it Nina on one side of the lake too.
Yep.
So
yeah, it's a cool lake though. I will say that as far as fishing goes. So let's move on to Michigan. The Black Lake sturgeon season wrapped up. How long do you think it'd take them to wrap up, Don?
I have no idea.
Ava,
I've never fished for sturgeon.
I have never fished for it either.
Okay. And again, it's the spearing season, but 36 minutes.
Well, what were there? How many were they allowed to take?
Hang on. We're getting there. 62-inch male sturgeon harvested at the 2022 Black Lake sturgeon season. After 36 minutes of the season, this season's sturgeon on Black Lake ended, and this happens to be in Sheboygan and Presque Isle counties, ended at 8:36 February 5th, included spearing and hook and line fishing both. It was scheduled to run 5th through the 9th until the harvest limit quota of 6 lake sturgeon have been reached. Anglers initially were allocated a season quota of 7 sturgeon, but the Michigan DNR set the harvest limit at 6. The action needed to accommodate the expected number of anglers and anticipate possibility of near simultaneous harvest. So, you know, you can't guarantee somebody's not going to say, okay, the season closed, but they both caught them at the same time. So 565 anglers. That's a lot to go for seven fish or six fish. First fish was 59 and a half inches, 48 pounds. Next one was 62 inches, 67 pounds, 25 pounds, 45, 23, and 35. So not a lot of monster fish, but nonetheless, there was some good fish caught. So kind of one of those, I have to admit, it is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I've never done it. And, you know, I've actually got a friend that's up on the Rainy River up in right on the border with Canada that last year invited us to come up and fish for sturgeon that come out of Lake of the Woods and run on the Rainy River. And I don't know. It's usually done early in the year,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Yep.
So
yep, definitely. Yeah. You know, and I have to tell you, from fishing shallow in the river here this summer and throwing a rip and wrap, I think I might have mentioned, I had one that was over, it's close to 66 inches.
Wow.
Pulled alongside of the boat. We just took a rough guess on where it was, and it actually hit that bait and went airborne. I mean, it launched, and it was only 3 feet of water, and it was like a dolphin, literally.
Sure.
You know, and boy, they got a little power.
Oh, yeah.
And you imagine
a lot of weight there too.
Yeah, you know, and when you see if you're sturgeon spearing and you see that big fish come underneath,
it's got to look
like
a whale.
It's like welcome to an adrenaline rush times 10.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable. So kind of a neat experience, whether you believe in the spearing aspect or not. At least that way you're able to identify the fish and it works really quite well, and you know the deal. So yeah. So, tell you what, Don, before we jump into this next story, we're going to talk about a new gun ownership law that's going to go into effect in San Jose, California, possibly. We want to look at that, and we'll come right back with that. Stay tuned. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Welcome back, and unfortunately, we're trying to get Jack on from Prairie Peak Kennels, and I think he got stuck in a snowbank.
Couldn't make the connection. Well, no. We'll get him next week.
You bet, and of course, a lot of times with a lot of the various snow conditions or weather conditions, it kind of can create an issue with cell phones. So,
right,
hope all is good there. So, anyway, I kind of previewed a gun law that's looking at going into effect in San Jose. The city council, they voted by a wide margin on January 25th to adopt two gun control measures not found anywhere in the United States, Don.
This is in San Jose, California?
As it says, yep.
Okay.
First, it would require gun owners in the city to purchase liability insurance covering losses or damages related to negligent or accidental use of the firearm, including death and injury. The second would further require gun owners to pay gun harm reduction fee to a designated nonprofit organization. The city council will set the fee and designate the nonprofit in a separate resolution. This resolution has not been introduced, but council members in the latest meeting suggested the fee could be $25 a year. Failure to comply with either ordinance could result in fines and firearm confiscation.
Well, that may fly in California, but I think they'll struggle the rest of the country. There's maybe a couple other states that would consider something like that.
It's a slippery slope.
Well, it is. That's why I say I could see it happening in a state like California, but I can't see it happening, let's say, in the Midwest.
And, you know, and again, one of the things that was also stated was the gun owners and residents said that they called the law unjust and... how they're levying fees on gun owners are going to, how it's going to stop violent criminals. How is that going to happen?
No, it's not going to help.
No. So You're putting a law in that doesn't make any difference.
It only hinders the law-abiding gut owner.
Exactly right.
That's it,
right.
Because those that shouldn't have one aren't going to follow the rules anyway. So
no.
They haven't been. Well, I don't know why they think that would change.
No, and of course, you coming back from the SHOT Show and everything, one of the guys from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Mark Oliva, the Gun Industry Trade Association, they likened the San Jose's new requirement to combating illegal narcotics by taxing prescription medication customers.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
Later, his comment compared the fees to a poll tax. San Jose's mayor and city councilor are conflating the law of lawful ownership and use of firearms with criminal actions. And, of course, I would agree, that's beyond unfair. The problem of criminal misuse of firearms must be addressed, and not by punishing those who abide by the law, by punishing those who break the law. It's pretty simple.
Well, for most of us, it seems that way, but for others, it doesn't seem to appear that way.
Remember ice fishing and shanties, what it leads to?
Yeah, right.
The Second Amendment Foundation is currently preparing a lawsuit that the organization plans to file once the measure becomes law. The suit will attack the San Jose ordinances on the Second Amendment grounds, but they will also argue that it violates California state preemption law. Now, this is crazy. In general terms, the law prohibits local governments from enacting gun control regulations stricter than those imposed by the state. San Jose's law is obviously stricter than anything passed so far by the state legislature. He said the preemption angle may be stronger than the Second Amendment angle. He doesn't believe legislation can pass a similar law anytime soon due to the expense of administering it statewide. I would have to agree. State lawyers of San Jose will also have to deal with the fact that as of January 21st, no insurance companies offer separate standalone gun liability coverage. According to the Insurance Information Institute, that is, Gottlieb said that the San Jose gun owners are unable to obtain policies required under the law. The gun rights group could file suit based on the law's harm to gun owners. Because they would literally say, you don't have insurance, we're going to take your guns. Well, there isn't anything available. Well, that's tough. We're going to take them anyway. That's where this could go.
Right.
So,
I mean, there is insurance available for law-abiding gun owners if they choose to carry it.
Not this kind of insurance.
Not that type of insurance.
Nope. Kevin Small of the California Rifle and Pistol Association is doubtful San Jose residents can convince the council to change course. At the last meeting, the overwhelming majority of people told their city council members that not to pass the ordinance, right?
Right.
They told them, do not pass the ordinance, and they passed it anyway. He said he doesn't see any reason for the council to change their tune when it comes up for vote next month. Gun owners in other states have a reason to watch the lawsuits closely because, as Small explained, gun control laws can quickly spread to other states and municipalities. California and New York end up being ground zero for a lot of these laws to be tried.
But this isn't a state law. This is a ordinance, right, from a city.
A city.
Right.
But the problem is it could be said, hey, look at this. Let's put this into effect, and then they would have a chance to say, look, the state can change its requirements so that it wouldn't have that preemptive law in that case.
Sure.
If you don't have that preemptive law, in other words, if your state establishes a stricter level, then anybody could be thrown right into the mix.
Right.
So that, in my mind, no bueno. That's not a good thing. And
it's California.
One of the last things he said, if this is the case, New York can be ground zero with California, and they'd spread like an infection across the United States if it doesn't get struck down immediately. What do you think about them apples?
Like I say, I could see that it would pop up in a couple other states, but I don't see it going across the flyover state, so to speak.
No.
Or the South, for that matter.
No. Land of rocks and cows.
Good luck in the South.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anything south to Mason-Dixon is going to be...
No, I mean, it's
So good luck.
It's kind of like from?
It's kind of like the parents' rebellion going on right now. I think you'd see it. So
yeah, exactly. Another news that was I thought was rather bizarre. The current administration is considering closing some public lands to hunting and fishing. November 2021, animal rights activist group, the Center for Biological Diversity, sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife over a 2020 decision by the past administration to expand hunting and fishing opportunities within the National Wildlife Refuge system. News recently broke and that the present administration is engaged in private talks to settle that lawsuit, which could potentially lead to closure of nearly 100 refuges, potentially millions of acres of public lands that are open now to hunting and fishing. A few short months ago, current administration was touting the largest expansion of hunting and fishing in history on these lands, and they're now negotiating with animal rights activists over hunting opportunities while excluding sportsmen from having a seat at the table. And this is directly from the Sportsmen's Alliance Foundation and Evan Huskevelt. So the environmental extremist group is also going after similar actions that the previous administration enacted during 2020. And that opened up 2.3 million acres on 138 refuges across 9 fish hatcheries to hunting and fishing. The 56-page lawsuit from the Center for Biological Diversity was filed in District Court, Montana. It said the hinges on the effects of lead ammunition and fishing tackle could have an endangered species within a specific refuges. Claiming that the use of that metal violates the Endangered Species Act, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service began phasing out all use of lead in the refuge already because we use steel shot.
Right.
And so that's a big thing. So lead fishing tackle has already been banned in many refuges, and lead shot for waterfowl hunting has been illegal since 1991.
Well, there's not a lot. I mean, actually, there's not a lot of fishing going on where there's waterfowl hunting, typically.
Yep, yep. Exactly. Shallow. So that's a story for you, Don. I'm a little baffled, but again, it's one of these things. We have to watch what happens within our area. Write your congressmen, write your senators, write them and let them know how you feel about different laws and pieces and parts that are going on within your area. So be aware, and we'll try to do our best to keep you updated and aware on what's going on. So
should stay tuned next week. If you've got a hunting dog, you might want to be tuned into.
Yeah.
Here our guest. Hopefully we'll be able to connect next week.
He'll be good. Prairie Peak Kennels will join us next week. Thanks for joining us. For Don, Ava, myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out.